Hello, boys and girls. It's good to see you again back to our virtual VBS. I hope you enjoyed yesterday's episode, and we have another one for you today. By the way, just to remind you, if you've missed any of our previous episodes, you can always see them again at the Faith Free Presbyterian Church website. And I have a feeling somebody's behind me. Am I? Somebody is behind me. Mr. B, come on down here. It's so good. What in the world are you carrying, Mr. B? Oh, I see. Well, let me hold that. Oh, that's wonderful. You see, since this is virtual VBS, Mr. B decided to bring us some virtual honey. Isn't that sweet of him? So, thank you so much. You wanted to give this to the boys and girls? All right, here you go, boys and girls. Catch. They loved it, I'm sure. Thank you, Mr. B. We'll see you again tomorrow. Let's begin with a word of prayer today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this time that we can have. We thank you for the boys and girls who tune in to us each day. And we just pray that as we are presenting the stories, as we're presenting the Bible, as we're learning the Bible verses, as we're singing our songs, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with us, and that as we see him, we might become more like him. May your Holy Spirit guide and help us each day of VBS. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Overly, do you have some songs for us today?
Boys and girls, let's sing, "He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe." You know, Jesus came and paid our sin debt. There's no way that we could pay it back. There are not enough good works. There's not enough money in the world to pay back what we owed because of our sin. But Jesus came, Christ Jesus came, and he paid that debt that he didn't owe, but that we did.
Hi, boys and girls. It's mission trip time again. Let's review where we've been so far. The first day, we went to the Czech Republic and met the Schultz family. Yesterday, we went to Liberia and met Reverend David DeCanio and Miss Joanne Greer. Here's my question to see how well you were listening yesterday. What two things would you want to take with you if you went on a real trip to Liberia? Here's a hint. They have something to do with being close to the equator. That's right, an umbrella and a flashlight. You'd need an umbrella because it rains a lot in Liberia, and you'd want a flashlight because nighttime comes early. Do you remember where the Czech Republic and Liberia are? The Czech Republic is in the middle of Europe. Liberia is on the west coast of Africa, not far from the equator. Today, we're going to Australia, Australia is sometimes called the land down under. You might wonder, the land down under what? Our maps and globes almost always have the North Pole at the top. That puts Australia below or down under most other countries on the map. It's in the bottom half of the globe, below the equator, which is called the Southern Hemisphere. Here's a fun fact. Because Australia is in the Southern Hemisphere, its seasons are the opposite from ours, since we live in the Northern Hemisphere. When we're enjoying summer, it's winter in Australia. When it's winter here, it's summer there. So, do you think they have snow for Christmas? Nope, never. In areas of Australia where it snows, it happens between June and September. That's when we're heading to the beach. Two-thirds of Australia is desert, called the outback. But they also have rainforest, and they have lots of beaches, over 10,000. Australia has lots of plants and animals that aren't found anywhere else in the world. You've probably heard of a lot of them, the kangaroo, the platypus, the kookaburra, and the koala, to name a few. Australia is a great place to learn about God's amazing creation. Australia is a big country, not quite a third smaller than the United States, but it has a lot fewer people. In fact, if you were to spread out all the people evenly over the whole country, there would be only 3 people per square mile. Of course, people don't live all spread out like that. Most of them live near the coasts. There are some big cities, but there are a lot of small towns that are very far apart and a lot of very large farms. That sometimes presents a problem for people who love the Lord and want to go to church. There are very few churches, especially good ones, in the country. If you do find one, you may have to travel a long way to get to it. We have 3 missionary families in Australia. The Gardners live in Perth in Western Australia. Reverend and Mrs. Philip Gardner have 2 daughters, Anna, who's 11, and Karis, who's 8. Here's a fun fact about the area near Perth. Gold mining has been a major industry in Western Australia since the late 1890s. The Kalgoorlie Super Pit is one of the largest gold producers in the world. The Super Pit is approximately 2 miles long, 1 mile wide, and about a third of a mile deep. Massive dump trucks bring rocks containing the gold from down in the super pit up to the top to be processed. How would you like to drive one of those? Reverend and Mrs. Kyle Graham and their daughter Abaya live in Port Lincoln, which is in South Australia, a long way from Perth where the Gardeners are. If you drove from Perth to Port Lincoln, it would take you a little over 24 hours. Mr. Graham looks after the church in Port Lincoln, as well as another small church in Locke, which is about an hour and a half drive away. The drive to Locke is pretty much a straight line all the way with just one right turn. That's a long time to drive without making any turns. Driving at night in Australia can be dangerous. You have to watch out for animals in the road. Where we live, we have to watch out for deer at night. What do you think they have to watch out for in Australia? It's kangaroos. They get blinded by the car lights and sometimes jump in all the wrong directions, causing people to crash their cars. A fun fact about Port Lincoln is that it has a large fishing industry, especially bluefin tuna. Every January, they have a festival called Tunarama, at which people compete to see who can throw a tuna the farthest. I'm not sure that's a contest I'd like to participate in. Reverend and Mrs. Ralph Hall and their 4 children live in Tasmania. Their church is called Kingston Free Presbyterian Church. Tasmania is an island state of Australia located to the south of the mainland. It's known for having the world's cleanest air and some of the world's oldest and tallest trees. In fact, some of the Huon pine trees, which grow only in Tasmania, are over 2,500 years old. That means they were growing before the time of Christ. Those are some old trees. The missionaries in Australia use a variety of means to try to reach the people with the gospel. In addition to church services, they have children's Bible clubs, youth meetings, and care home meetings. They also give out the gospel in city centers and at agricultural shows. Most people in Australia are indifferent or opposed to spiritual things. Like the people in the Czech Republic, they tend to be atheistic. It's often hard to get people to talk about spiritual things. They don't see them as being important. But there's nothing more important than knowing that you are right with God and that your sins are forgiven. We need to pray that the people in Australia will listen to the gospel and that the Lord will open their hearts to believe it. So what shall we pray for the Gardners, the Grahams, and the Halls? Let's pray that God will give the people they meet in Australia listening ears and open hearts. That's listening ears, so they'll listen to the gospel, and open hearts so that they'll believe it. Well, that's all the time we have for our mission trip today. I'll see you again tomorrow.
Hi again, boys and girls. Our Bible verse for today isn't found in the book of Romans. It's found in the book of John. But before we do that, let's review the two Bible verses we've had up to this point. Can you say them along with me? Let's go. Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today's Bible verse is a very familiar verse. It's from the book of John. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse tells us that God loved his people so much that he gave his only Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whoever puts their trust in him, whether you be a boy or a girl, mom or a dad, old person, young person, it doesn't matter. Anybody, whosoever, that word means anybody, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You remember, the wages of sin is death, but this says if we trust in Christ, we will not die. That is, our soul will not die, but after our body dies, we go to be with God in heaven. We will not perish, but have everlasting life, living forever with Jesus our Savior. Let's read this Bible verse together, shall we? Read along with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why don't you try to say it? John 3:16. For God, that's right, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let's try to say it with these blanks in there. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's right, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's right. Now let's say it together one more time. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very good, boys and girls.
I know it's here somewhere. Where did this mess come from?
Wow, Daniel, did you lose something?
No. Ah, but I think Millard did.
What's wrong, Millard?
I think he said he needs help finding his cousin Millie.
Okay, Millard. Let's find her quick. VBS is about to begin.
Today, I want to talk about different kinds of stories. The Bible tells many stories. One of my favorites is found in Exodus. After the Egyptians had endured 10 plagues, Pharaoh finally agreed to release the children of Israel from captivity. God told Moses to lead them to a place near the Red Sea. Then Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his army to bring the Jews back into slavery. On the coast of the Red Sea, the Israelites had no place to escape. But God told Moses to lift his staff over the Red Sea, and God separated the water, and the Israelites crossed over to the other side on dry ground. Then Pharaoh's army charged after them along the same path, but God released the water. It covered all of Pharaoh's soldiers, chariots, and horses, and they drowned in the Red Sea. Is that a true story? Of course it is. It is the story of a miracle God did to save his people. A miracle is when God makes something happen that could not normally happen. Some people scoff at miracles and say that such things aren't real. When somebody raises a staff over water, it doesn't separate. So they think the Red Sea did not part when Moses raised his staff. It wasn't Moses or his staff that separated the water. It was God that did the miracle. He did it to save his people from the Egyptians and to show them and us that he is God, that he is so powerful he can work miracles when he chooses to. In the past, we talked about stories that were not true, that were fiction, fables with talking and thinking animals, fairy tales with their non-real characters and situations, and even Christian fantasies are fiction. They are not true. Now, fiction can illustrate good morals or teach valuable lessons. It is the good lesson which makes them a good story. Because a storyteller can change the story, the same basic story can be good or not so good, depending on the lesson the storyteller wants to teach. Historical stories from the Bible, however, are true. And God had the story written down exactly the way he wanted it told. If the storyteller doesn't change the story, if the storyteller is true to the Bible, then the story is true. Moses did hold up his rod. God did separate the water. The Israelites did cross on dry ground. And Pharaoh's army did drown in the Red Sea. God wants us to know that story. Why? Let me answer by telling you another Bible story. To enter the Promised Land, the Israelites needed to cross the Jordan River. And God told Joshua just how he wanted it done. And they did it just that way. Joshua brought the priests that carried the Ark of the Covenant on poles on their shoulders to the edge of the Jordan. And as their feet touched the water stopped flowing and backed up on one side. The priest stopped in the middle of the riverbed as the people crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. 12 chosen men each picked up a stone from the middle of the river while everybody else crossed. Then, when everyone had crossed, the priests followed. When they were on the shore, the water again flowed down the riverbed once more. Joshua took the 12 stones and built a monument. Why? To remember the event, and so that when the children asked, "Why are there 12 stones here?" they would be told the story of the miracle that God had done. Joshua wrote it this way: "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over, that the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." God wants people to remember his mighty acts. The Bible repeatedly tells parents to teach their children the stories of God's miracles. Why? Because he wants us to know about him. He wants us to know the truth about who he is and what he has done, what he wants us to do and not do. And to make sure we get the stories right and remember all the stories, he had them written down. It is important that we get all the stories right and that we recognize that they are true because God wants us to know him. The Bible contains an interesting story about Balaam. He was riding his donkey to a place God did not want him to go. Suddenly, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord in front of him and turned off the path into a field. But Balaam did not see the angel, so he beat the donkey until he got back on the path. Later, the donkey again saw the angel, but Balaam did not, and the donkey again was beaten for leaving the path. It happened a third time, and Balaam hit the donkey with his staff. And the Bible says that the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said, "What have I done that you have hit me these three times?" And Balaam said, "You have mocked me. and if this staff were a sword, I would kill you. The donkey replied, But I am your donkey, and I've always let you ride me. Then God opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord. Balaam was shocked and got off his donkey and fell down on his face before the angel of the Lord. Talking animals and creatures that are sometimes seen and sometimes invisible? Some people think that sounds like a fairy tale. But does the Bible contain that kind of fiction? No. God caused the donkey to actually talk. And God decides when angels can be seen and when they can't. When God wants to do a miracle, it really happens. It is part of the reason we know that He is God, because He can make anything and everything serve Him in any way He wants to. More about true stories tomorrow. But now, let's learn about two parables Jesus used to teach us spiritual lessons, the lost coin and the lost sheep. Again, as you listen to the parable, try to figure out what God wants us to learn about Him from these stories.
Hello, boys and girls. Have you ever lost something that was important to you? Perhaps it was something expensive, or maybe it didn't cost a lot of money, but it was very valuable to you, and you looked all over the house for that thing. You searched and you tried to think, where was the last time I saw that thing? Maybe you asked your mom and dad or your brothers and sisters if they had seen it. And you looked and looked, and finally you found it. And you were so relieved and so happy that you clutched that thing in your hands and you rushed through the house and you said, I found it! I found it! Well, Jesus told some parables about lost things. And we can read about those in Luke chapter 15. And today we're going to look at the first two parables of lost things. Jesus said, there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. Now, boys and girls, sheep aren't very smart animals. And they need a shepherd because there are a lot of things that they can't do for themselves. They need a shepherd to lead them into pastures where they can eat. They need a shepherd to protect them from wild animals that might be in the forest. You know, if a sheep falls and rolls over onto its back, it's nearly impossible for that sheep to roll over again and get back up on its feet by itself. So sheep really need a shepherd who will care for them. Jesus said that this shepherd, probably at the end of the day, after the sheep had been out grazing in the field, as he led them back into the fold for the night, he counted them. And he got to 97, 98, 99. But where was number 100? Maybe he tried to count them a second time. And finally, he determined that one of those 100 sheep was lost. You know, that shepherd might have said, well, I have a 99 sheep. That's good enough. I won't worry about that one lost sheep. But that's not what he did. He left the 99 sheep safe in the fold, and then he went out looking for that one lost sheep. He retraced the steps that they had made that day. He looked, perhaps it was caught in a thicket. Oh, he hoped that no wild animal had gotten it. Perhaps it had slid down a little hill and was stuck and couldn't get up. He searched and searched. And then he found that little sheep, helpless and alone. And he knelt down and he picked it up and he put it on his shoulders and he brought it back to the fold. And he called his friends and his neighbors and he said, Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. And Jesus said, in the same way, there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents of his sin. Then Jesus told another parable. This time, it was a woman who had lost something. She had 10 silver coins, and those coins were very precious to her. And one day, as she looked at her coins, she saw something wasn't right. She counted them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But where is the 10th? She probably counted again. She looked, and she had lost one of those precious 10 coins. So she looked all over the house. She swept it clean. She took an oil lamp, because there were no electric lights or flashlights back then. She took an oil lamp or a candle, looking in all the dark places, trying to find that one silver coin. She looked and looked, and then she found it. There it sat, sparkling, and she picked it up, and she held it in her hands, and she called her friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost." And Jesus said again, "Likewise, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents." Boys and girls, keep listening. Miss Rebecca is going to tell us a little more about these parables and what they mean for us.
Thank you, Miss Lisa, for those two stories today. There were two stories that we heard today. However, both those stories tell us the same lesson. So what was that lesson? Well, Jesus was talking to a group of people that the Pharisees, those religious leaders, would have called sinners. And they were sinners. And there was one specific group that he had talked to, and we've talked about before. It's the tax collectors. And they tended to be a very corrupt and very dishonest people. They would collect way too much money, and then they would keep some for themselves. They were stealing from the people, and everyone saw them as very bad people. But these sinners had followed Jesus, and they had been forgiven from their sins. So Jesus tells these stories to show God's love for these sinners that had come to him. Think about how much that shepherd cared for that sheep that was lost. Or that coin, how much that meant to the woman, and how they rejoiced over finding it. As much as they cared for those things, God cares so much more for sinners. There's a verse in the Bible that says, it's Matthew 10:29, and it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Every one of you is valuable to God. As we saw in the story, there was such a time of rejoicing when the lost sheep was found and the lost coin. The shepherd and the woman didn't just put the lost item back where it should be and just make sure it stays there. No, they rejoiced. They rejoiced. And they shared it with their friends. It wasn't something they could keep to themselves. They were so happy about it. The Bible also tells us in Luke 15:10, at the end of these stories, Jesus had said, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." The angels rejoice over sinners repenting. We should rejoice too. But were the Pharisees rejoicing? No. They were judging Jesus for hanging out with sinners, for people that they didn't think were good enough. They thought they were good enough, didn't they? They thought they had done enough. They didn't need Christ, in their opinion. But their hearts were hard, just like that hard soil we learned about earlier in the week. They didn't see their need for Christ. They thought they were good enough. This week, and in the weeks to come, I would love to see families and churches and the angels of heaven rejoicing over many children coming to Christ for forgiveness for their sins. He is ready to forgive you. It's not hard to come to Christ. He has done the work for you. His death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave is the work that he did for you. You just need to trust him and not in what you can do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love for sinners. I thank you that even when I was a young girl, that you saved me, that you called me, that you forgave me. I pray that each one of these children would understand that they need you, Lord. I thank you for your leading and guiding in my life, and I pray that you would lead and guide in each of these children's lives. You are all that they need. Help them to see that. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm glad we found Millie in time for the start of VBS.
Yeah, there was a lot of lost things in today's story.
What amazes me is that the shepherd cares so much for that missing sheep, even though the other 99 sheep are fine.
Aren't you glad that God loves us that much?
Yeah, but it was the lamb's fault that he was lost. He wandered away. He couldn't do anything for himself, but the shepherd still went to find him.
Just like God. I remember when Mom and I prayed together and she told me that I'm not saved by anything I could do, but only by God's grace. The shepherd showed grace on that foolish lamb, just like God showed grace on me.
I'm really glad he did. I just don't feel like I deserve that kind of love and grace.
I know what you mean. Let's talk with Mom and Dad about it more during devotions.
I know what they'll say. They will say we should always thank God and keep trusting him for the free gift that we've been given.
You're probably right. Well, we can talk about it more later, but let's get back to VBS now.
Hello again, boys and girls. Thanks so much for joining me today in our craft corner. Now that we have the basic idea of what a village would have looked like in this time period, we want to start adding some more details that are significant to what we've been learning about this week. And so today I wanted us to think about some of the animals that are referenced in the parables of the Lord Jesus. So of course we have the Good Samaritan, and so we're going to make a donkey for that one. We have the parable of the lost sheep, and so we're going to make a sheep for that one. And of course then we have the prodigal son, and for that we will make a pig. And so I had suggested that if you could get some medium weight yarn, that would be really helpful. So I happen to have a lot of yarn in my house already, so I have the colors that I needed for this. So pink for the pig, white for the sheep, and gray for the donkey. But I understand that a lot of you may not have access to this, so I think that your animals will look absolutely fine with whatever color of yarn that you have on hand, so don't worry about it too much. So the girls are with me here today, as you can see, and they're going to be making some of these animals as well, and we'll make one each so that you get to see what they are all like. So I will be making the donkey, and it's entirely up to you which one you want to begin with, because the process is the same for all of them. So the figure that you need today is figure number 5, and it's the one with the little animal faces on it. And the first thing that we will do is just cut out this, cut out the one that you want to use today, and just get your scissors. And again, if you're a little boy or girl and you need help with this, you can go ahead and maybe ask Mom or Dad or big brother or sister to help you out right now. So I'm going to go ahead and just cut out this little face. I have my little guide piece here, and because I'm making the donkey, I'm going to choose a piece of card that is grey. Now again, if you don't have cardstock in your house, you could just use paper. You could literally just colour this little template in, or paint it or whatever, and use that. Or you could use really anything. If you had craft paper that was a certain color that you liked, that would be fine too. So it's entirely up to you. I had this in my house again, so I'm going to use this gray, and the girls are going to use pink for the pig and black for the sheep. Okay, so the next thing we want to do is just grab a pencil, and we're going to set the guide on top of our piece of card and draw around it. And then what we're going to do is cut this piece out. Grab your yarn, And first thing we want to do is measure a piece of yarn that is about 12 inches. Then what we do is you put it between your fingers like this. So just leave it in there, and we're going to leave it until we've wrapped the yarn, and then we're going to use that to tie off the pom-pom. So wrap it over those fingers and just ignore it for a little minute. Okay, then take the other end of your yarn, and we are going to wrap around two fingers for this pom-pom. So I'm going to wrap these two fingers. So I'm holding the end with my thumb. Okay, and then we're just going to wrap, and we're going to wrap 70 times. So if you need help with counting, then maybe get someone to help you right now. So start again. So this is one, two. So the whole way around is one whole wrap. 70 times around is quite a lot, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to just cut that piece. All right. And then we take the piece that was between our fingers and we pull it around. So, okay, I'm pulling it around like this, kind of between my fingers, like this. And then I'm going to ask Alyssa to help me with tying that. So I'll maybe show you that again. So, okay, we have the piece of yarn like this, laying it over your fingers, pull up the other one. And then we're going to tie this nice and tightly, Alyssa, please. Actually, let's come over a bit. Yep, and then I'll hold my finger on it, and then you tie once more. Okay, and then you just slip it off your fingers and hope that it stays together. Okay. And then you have a nice little loop like this. Now, I think what I'm going to have to do is tie this even tighter again. So, Alyssa, could you maybe hold your finger there? Okay, everyone. So now your pom-pom should look like this. It doesn't look much like a pom-pom. I'll grant you, but hopefully we can fix that. So what you're going to do is start cutting the loops all the way around on both sides. So just poke your scissors in and kind of pull up and just snip away until you've got all of those loops opened up. Look for any that you've missed and try to make sure you've got them all. Okay, so now you've got something that looks like this, and it doesn't look great yet, but we're going to start chopping, and don't be afraid to do this part. Just keep chopping, and the more you give it a trim, I think the better it looks. So this is my pom-pom, pretty much finished, boys and girls, and all I need to do now is get the little head for the donkey and stick him into place. I've got a piece of scrap paper just to protect my table, and then I'm going to put about 3 small dots of glue on the back of this head. So I'm just going to press the little face and hold it for a little minute until it has stuck to my pom-pom. Well, boys and girls, I do hope that you enjoyed that craft as much as we did. As you can see, we have a variety of different shapes and sizes here. Mine is the largest, and I suppose that's okay because the donkey would be bigger than any of these other animals anyway. Then we have Lois's sheep, and he's lovely and furry and fluffy looking, just as a sheep should be. And then Alyssa, she made this little pig, and she cut the yarn nice and tight and has made him very smooth and just exactly like a pig should be, in fact. So I think he's super cute. And if you want to make your pig like this, just keep cutting more than, especially you saw me doing for this one. Just keep going and eventually he'll start to look like this. That's the end of our VBS for another day. And now we're just going to pray and talk to the Lord and ask him to bless our time together today. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that we could be here today. I'm thankful for VBS for another year. So thankful for the boys and girls who have joined us and who have been listening to the stories and singing the songs and learning the memory verses, and what a blessing it is for them to even hear the gospel preached and to have that great privilege of knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ and about salvation. And Lord, I just thank you for your mercy to all of us, as you have allowed us to live in a time and an age when we are allowed to hear about the Bible, to hear the wonderful parables of the Lord Jesus, and no one can come along and stop us from doing this. And so, Lord, I pray that the word would run into the hearts of the boys and girls today. Pray that many would be saved. Many who are already saved would be encouraged and blessed to go on in their walk with thee. And Lord, I just pray that whatever the boys and girls do today and for the rest of the week, that you'll be with them, keeping them safe and blessing their families that they represent. And Lord, I just pray that you will just bless each one of us now as we go and do whatever else we have to do today. Lord, may you please help us to do it for thy honor and for thy glory. For I pray in Jesus' precious and holy and worthy name. Amen.